Who is this guy? He calls himself Dr. Doctor, and he thinks he knows something about the Bible. Let's see if he really does.
Welcome back. Today's show is going to be a little bit different. We are going to talk about how I came to know the Lord. By the way, please tell your friends to tune in to Ask Dr. Doctrine. The program airs every Thursday at 6:30 Central Time. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about how I came to know the Lord. And it's an interesting story. And then you're going to get to hear how my wife came to know the Lord. Now, I know we've been talking about doctrine quite a bit, but I think it's time to put a little bit of application into it. Now, of course, this is the simplest form, really. It's the way to be saved. And although it's not simple in what happens when you're saved, it is kind of the milk of the word. So here we go. My name is Peter Georg Zakharoff. You probably heard about The Sound of Music and seen that captain guy. His name was Georg. Well, that's the German word for George. I was born in Germany. And I was born in a little tiny town in what they say is one of the biggest forests in Europe, right next to the border of France. And my grandfather was in charge of the railroad station, and my mom, she was raised a Catholic, and we were all raised Catholics. And I remember going to my aunt's house, and if you go up the hill at Hohenecken, which is near Kaiserslautern, Germany, which means King's River or Caesar's River, there's a hill right behind her house. You go up that hill, maybe a quarter of a mile, and there really was a castle on top of the hill behind her house. So that was our playground. We had a lot of fun. There were farms around. And I remember when I was 6 years old, we went to church, and on Easter Sunday, you're not going to believe it, I became an altar boy at 6 years old. I still remember that red dress with the white frock and lifting those heavy bells and looking at the other altar boys for signs of when to ring them. I think there were like six or eight of them. I was shocked how many bells were ringing when I was... Anyway, that was a lot of fun. But I was raised, actually it was a Latin mass, and I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And what happened was my mom won a special lottery to emigrate to the United States. And we all six children, with one on the way, we sold everything we had. We had a new house at that time. And we took an all-night train ride to Paris, and then we took a taxi ride from the train station, and I saw the Eiffel Tower out the window. We came up to the airport, and my dad says, "Oh no, I left our portfolio with everything in it, all of our money, our passports, everything, airplane tickets, at the taxi stand." So he takes a taxi all the way back to downtown Paris, and sure enough, somebody saved it for him. Praise the Lord. So I remember we had like three or four shirts on and, you know, two or three pants because we couldn't fit it all in the suitcases. And I still remember that bright maple leaf of Air Canada as we flew really across the North Seas. And I looked out the window and I said, "What are those little white specks down there?" And they said, "Well, those are icebergs." So we landed and went down to Seattle where I was raised. And I had some interesting experiences along the way where I noticed that there were some different kind of Christians out there than me. Because my priest used to smoke and drink, and I thought, "God, this is crazy." We had parties of booze like you wouldn't believe at our house. So I thought, well, maybe there's something else to this. And I remember one time I was standing outside my house, and it was the most beautiful sunset in Seattle. It was dark red clouds, and they were like wavy, and there were shadows between the waves. And all of a sudden, I got this idea that was the Lake of Fire, because I'd been reading these Chick tracks. I wasn't saved, but I got scared, and I got this vision that the world turned upside down, and everything started falling into the lake of fire. Trees and cars, and not trees maybe, but cars and people and everything. And I held onto the telephone pole next to me. It was kind of a weird thing. Anyway, so I graduated from high school and didn't have much interest in school at that time, so I joined the Army. In the Army, interestingly, I did pretty well, and got transferred to Aberdeen, Maryland, and then I used to travel around a lot. I was really lonely. I was 3,000 miles away from home. My girlfriend broke up with me, and I'm still nervous thinking about going through that. That was kind of a rough time in my life, and I thought about, is life really worth living? So I found myself hitchhiking in the middle of Pennsylvania on the way to see Niagara Falls in the middle of the night. And I was going up this hill in the middle of the night, and I started talking to God. And I said, God, if you're out there, could you show yourself to me? 6 months later, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Texas, put a star in the middle of Texas, like 100 miles of the nearest big town, at Fort Hood, I was depressed. It was gray. I was walking off base, looking down. All of a sudden, I saw a light. I looked up, and it was coming from the inside of a Christian Servicemen Center. I looked in there. They looked like they were having fun. So I went into that Christian Servicemen Center in Killeen, Texas. And man, was I welcome. They had donuts. They had ping pong. They had chess. I loved to play chess. And a couple days later, a man puts his hand on my shoulder and says, Pete, I'm the assistant director. My name's Carl Voltz. And I was wondering if you knew where you were going to go when you die. And I was taken back by that question. And I said, well, not for sure. He goes, come to my office. Well, he started witnessing to me one-on-one, opened his Bible and started showing me things. And you're not going to believe what was going on in my mind. If I accept Christ, I'm going to have to go be a good Catholic and become a priest like my mom always wanted me to be. No way am I going to accept Christ like that. Nope, not ready for that. But I knew something was real and true because I kept reading God's Word and the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me. So on the one hand, I had this one pull saying no. And on the other hand, I was like being pulled apart. So I kept going back. I went there, and on the third night, I finally got it. You know, he was showing me Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call, he lifted up like a telephone in prayer. He said, you know, like, okay, I got it upon the name of the Lord. What's that? He asked me. I said, Jesus. And what does it say? And all of a sudden, my eyes popped out of my head. It said, shall be saved. He said, that's God's word. I knew it was God's word. Shall be saved? Really? Romans 10:13? Shall be saved? If I accept the Lord, I'll be saved? He goes, yes, all your sins will be washed away and you'll be clean and what he did for you on the cross will count. He paid for your sins already. All you got to do is let him into your heart. I said, well, how do I do that? He goes, man, I've been talking to you for 3 days. You should know. So I went down on my knees, and all of a sudden I got another picture in my head. I got a picture that I was kneeling in a dark place on the edge of a diving board. And I was inching my way to the edge, to that decision point. And I couldn't hold on to anything. All I could do was back away, back slowly down, or I would fall off that diving board. And I went to the edge of that diving board on my knees, and I said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I felt like I just lost my balance and fell off that diving board into a pool of, I think it was the Holy Spirit. I was just filled with the Holy Spirit. He came into my life. Jesus came into my life. Christ moved into my heart that day. And I'm telling you, I couldn't even talk for 3 hours. And you know I like to talk. I couldn't talk for 3 hours. I just sat there, amazed at what happened to me, that the Lord had come into my heart. Well, I was going to be the best Catholic ever, so I went to church. And you're not going to believe what happened next. In church, the preacher, the priest, he says, "Do you want to know where Jesus is?" I go, "Yeah, he's in my heart. Amen." Nope. He reaches under the podium, and he pulls out from that pulpit, I'm not kidding you, a loaf of Wonder Bread with the, you know, balloons on the side, the white bag. He held it up in the above his head, and he goes, "That's where Jesus is. He's in the bread." Now, I had been an altar boy from age 6 to about 18, and I held that plate for probably 10 years. And one time they dropped the body of Christ, and I caught it once in 10 years. I thought the church was going to clap because Jesus is in the bread. No, he just, you know, put it back in the other picked it up and gave it to the next person. So I had this life-changing experience. Jesus had come into my heart, and I knew he was there. And at that time, I realized that, no, the Catholic Church didn't get it right. So just to make sure, I played altar boy one more time. I went to the back of that Catholic church. It was in Killeen, Texas. And if anybody's listening from Killeen, I apologize. But I asked each person, one by one, as they came out, and I asked them, I said, "Do you know if you are going to go to heaven when you die?" And I shook their hands, one by one, as they came out. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Of all those people in that church, they were just like me. Not a single one of them could tell me for sure that they were saved.
So that's how I decided to get out of the Catholic Church and attend a Baptist church. And I started to grow in the Lord, and I did Bible study. Matter of fact, I had a little Gideon Bible, and I would stay up way into the night in my barracks. I had to go in the bathroom and read. There was a little place to sit down there, and the reason was we had a big dorm style with a whole bunch of bunk beds everywhere. I didn't want to disturb anybody. I used to read till late in the morning. One time I fell asleep on my knees by my bed with my head on my Bible, and all the guys gathered around me woke me up, but I was too tired. I just closed my Bible and went to bed. I don't know what happened to them. Another time I'd been at a Bible study late, and I was walking home to Fort Hood. It was a long walk, and I was so tired. And I just laid down on the sidewalk, took a nap. It's because I loved reading God's Word. You know, God's Word is life. My whole life changed once I became a Christian. And I got out of the Army. I went to Word of Life Bible Institute. I was a dorm supervisor there because I was a sergeant in the Army. And I spent a great year there studying God's Word. When I transferred from Word of Life to Philadelphia College of Bible, they transferred over a year and a half of units. The Lord told me, just like He told Andrew to go and witness to his brother Peter to go home. So I moved across country down to San Diego where my family was, and I witnessed to my family and transferred to Christian Heritage College. At Christian Heritage College, I took classes from the Institute of Creation Research. I became a Bible major. I went to Talbot Seminary for a while. I went to Golden Gate Seminary and graduated from San Francisco Baptist Theological Seminary. Also, when I was at Word of Life, I became a street preacher. And we were trained in open-air evangelism at Moody Bible Institute. We preached there in Chicago and also places like Harlem, and spent our summer between two casinos. Hello, Donald Trump. in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Anyway, I also preached places like the Washington Monument, not the White House, and Times Square. So since then, I've been serving the Lord on the internet. And now I would like to introduce my wonderful wife as she shares her testimony of how she met Jesus.
Hi, everybody. This is Debbie Zakharoff. I'm Peter Zakharoff's wife, and I'm here to talk about my testimony. Well, I was raised in the Christian church and went to Sunday school every Sunday, and my parents loved the Lord, and so did my brothers and sisters. But one day, I got really sick. I had croup, cough. All of a sudden, I got sick and couldn't breathe at night. Turned out it was in October. I had gone to a baby shower that night, and I really wanted to go with her, but she wouldn't let me go. I was about 6 years old. I stayed home with my dad and my brothers and sisters. I have five brothers and sisters. And we were watching a movie about, it was kind of a horror movie, I guess, The Electrocution Man. And I somehow didn't feel good, went in my bedroom, and my dad looked around for me and found me, and I actually turned blue in the face. And he called the fire department, and the fire department came and rushed me to the emergency room and to the hospital. They said it wasn't quite emergency surgery, but they wound up giving me a tracheotomy where they opened up my breathing tubes. And at this time, my mother said I was unconscious, plus they gave me anesthesia, so I wouldn't feel the pain of the operation. But at this time, I had an out-of-body experience. I was laying on this table. All I had on was some blue shorts. Now, remember, I was only 6 years old, but I felt embarrassed. I remember feeling my body floating up, my spirit floating up to the lights and the bright lights in the room towards the ceiling, and looking down on my body was laying on this big table. I guess it was the operation table. And I saw a lot of nurses and doctors, I guess that's what they were, looking all around at me, around this table. And I was just feeling kind of embarrassed. I didn't know what they were doing staring at my body. Next thing I knew, I woke up and I was in this big oxygen tent. I realized they had resuscitated me and saved my life. Turned out I had a fast-acting staph germ, it looked like, where I had phlegm built up all the way through my esophagus, down to my stomach, and I couldn't breathe. So anyway, I woke up in this oxygen tent, and this beautiful nurse said, "Happy Halloween, it's Halloween today, and your brothers and sisters are trick-or-treating for you." That's where kids go around the neighborhood dressed in costumes and get candy from all the neighbor houses. I said, "Wow, I'm alive, that's really cool." I was in this big oxygen tent, and she gave me this little toy cat. And the weird thing about it was my parents said they never remember seeing this nurse as I described her, a very beautiful blonde lady, just glowing with, like, sunlight in her face. My parents said they never saw any nurse there that looked like that they were there the whole time. Anyway, I got better. I stayed in the hospital about a week, and then I had to miss about a week of school. But I always remember wondering if I would have died that night, if I would have gone to heaven or hell. I'm pretty sure I would have gone to heaven because I was heading up towards the ceiling and towards the sky. And my spirit, my soul, was leaving my body and going up towards heaven. I know people have different accounts and experiences of afterlife, but I didn't feel embarrassed. After that, I was happy again. And then I went to church again. I got better, went back to school. All this time, I was thinking about what would have happened if I would have died, you know, that night. One night, I was praying, and I realized when I was praying, it felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling and coming bouncing back down. We had just had St. Patrick's Day, and I was about 8 years old, I guess, and We celebrate St. Patrick's Day in America, where the Irish people dance and have parties and cake and ice cream and soda pop. My grandfather had a big party in his basement of his house, and he had a lot of mixed drinks, and he had these beautiful stirring sticks over in his basement on this table. And I went over and I thought, well, hey, he wouldn't care if I had one, I don't think. Maybe I could play with my dolls and make them be a queen. My Barbie doll would be a queen with that scepter. Well, my grandfather caught me taking one, and he never let me live that down. And he said, "Shame on you, Debbie. What did you do? That's wrong. That's a sin to take something and steal." I said, "I'm sorry, Grandpa. I won't ever do it again. I just thought it would be fun to play with." And so then that night I realized, you know, I had sin in my life because of that incident, other incidences, probably with my brothers and sisters. I know I wasn't perfect. So I started crying in my bed, and my mother came in, and she said, "What's wrong with you, Debbie? Why are you crying?" I said, "Well, I really feel like I'm not right with God. There's something wrong, and I feel like I did something wrong where he's not listening to my prayers anymore." And so my mom gave me some verses similar to those found in the Romans Road, such as, "It's not good enough just to be a good person. Won't that be enough?" I asked her. She said, "No, because in Romans 3:23 it says, 'For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.' And Romans 3:10 says, 'As it is written, no one is righteous, not even one.'" And I said, "I know I'm not perfect, Mom. I know I've done some things wrong, like Grandpa told me." And she said, "Yes, and so you need to trust in Jesus." And she read Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as though one man sin entered in the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." And I said, "Yes, Mom, I know sin brings death, doesn't it? I know I learned that in Sunday school." And she said, "Yes, the creator of the universe is holy. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 says that he has set laws in place for his creation to obey. What are these laws? They begin with the Ten Commandments. While you might consider yourself good compared to most people, how do you measure up to God and God's law? Have you ever told the smallest lie? Then you're a liar. For whoever keeps the law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." James 2:10 says that disobedience is to God is sin. "So is sin really that big of a deal, Mom?" I asked. She said, "Sure it is. Romans 6:23 says, 'For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.'" And so that night, my mother asked me if I would pray with her to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I did. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have everlasting life." And Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can never be saved by trying to be a good person, nor can you be saved through any amount of good works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You and I can only be saved by confessing our sins and placing our faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died on the cross and paid for our sins. Both John the Baptist and Jesus himself began their preaching with the word repent. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 4:17 says. To repent is to change one's mind or turn away, to turn and go in the other opposite direction. How can we be led to repentance? The first step towards repentance is to show true sorrow for what we've done wrong. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Worldly sorrow is much more like the regret of a criminal who's just been caught, whereas godly sorrow is a deep remorse or conviction that produces a change in direction. Have you ever felt convicted after doing something wrong? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin, John 16:7-8. So I asked my mom, "Did God hear me? Did God really accept me as his child?" Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God promises that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. John 1:12 says, "Yes, God does hear and accept all who come to put their faith in him. There is no need to fear death any longer, because Jesus broke the power of death on the cross with his own blood. The price has been paid in full, and this is God's promise to receive all who come to him by placing their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What do I do now, Mom? I asked. So then, she said, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your journey as a child of the King of Kings has just begun. You must begin by spending time in daily prayer, she told me, and in reading God's word, the Bible. You must also go to church and find friends that are Christians and listen to pastors that preach the Bible. You should also now confess Jesus Christ as your Savior before others. Share about your new faith in Jesus with your family, friends, and people at school. So then, after I accepted the Lord, I was really thrilled. I knew then for sure that if I was to die and leave this world, that my body would be absent from the body, but it would be present with Jesus Christ. I continue to grow in the church and grow in Jesus Christ, my Savior. So that's my testimony as a Christian, and that's how I became saved. And I hope that everyone will have their own testimony, and that if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, that you would pray with me right now. And this is a simple prayer like I prayed as an 8-year-old child. And you can pray after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for cleansing me. I believe right now in you, Lord Jesus. I accept you in my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Please accept me as your child, and if I was to die soon, that you would take me to heaven. Give me assurance of salvation. Help me to grow, read the Bible every day, and to make good Christian friends that will encourage me in my walk with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Peter Zakharoff as Dr. Doctrine. We hope you will tune in again. If you have any questions, just send them on Twitter to @DrDoctrine. We will do our best to answer them on the next show. Also, you may contact us on Facebook. Just type in Dr. Doctrine. Be sure and visit us at onlineseminary.info. Until next time, we wish you a blessed walk with the Lord.